This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Buster, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Fired up, ready to go.
Yeah, I'm telling you, a home run derby. Why in your opinion, do you think some of these great home run hitters are balking out so early from the home run derby? What's happening?
Well, it's interesting. I was actually surprised that the judge thing, what he said to the New York Post, was news, because he actually said that back at the beginning of spring training. It made it absolutely clear at that time. And I talked to him after he spoke to a group of us, and you know, we of course are broadcasters of the Home Run Derby, and I was part of the show that we did, and you know, was there when Aaron won last year. And it's pretty clear a couple things. First off, he really does feel like, look, I did it once, I won it, and that's enough, and that's good enough for me. And Aaron's very polite, but his no is no. He's not messing around, and no one's going to be able to convince him. The other thing, too, is he's not going to talk about it. He got hurt during the Home Run Derby last year. His left shoulder got hurt, and he had to work all the, you know, through that. In the case of Shohei Ohtani, the reason why he didn't, it's absolutely not a surprise, is because he clearly we saw from the choice that he made of teams, when he could have gone to the Yankees, he could have gone to the Cubs, he could have gone to the Dodgers. He just wants to focus on baseball. He doesn't like all the hoopla. He doesn't like all the extra stuff. And so I didn't think there was any chance he would be in the Derby, even though it would be a lot of fun. Earlier this year, when he got his first home run in Anaheim at Angel Stadium, the Angels asked him, hey, would you like a picture, a big mural-sized picture of that home run? We can do that for you. And he goes, no, thank you. What I would like is a picture of the ballpark. he doesn't need all the bells and whistles, you know? And so I never thought there was a chance he was going to participate because of that part of his personality.
Hey, Buster, a lot of people this morning are saying LeBron James at 33 is starting to run out of gas this postseason. Justin Verlander at 35, not running out of gas. The guy's 6-2, a 1.0 ERA. How's he doing it right now?
Well, and the numbers are amazing. He gave up one run in six innings against the Giants yesterday, and his ERA went up from like 1.05 to 1.08. That's how dominant he's been. 94 strikeouts, 74 and two-thirds innings. A couple things. He began a few years ago, as he began to lose velocity on his fastball, had never really had to use analytics and study information and scouting reports. And Brad Ausmus, then his manager with the Tigers, told him, look, Justin, as you get older, you can't bully hitters anymore. You're going to have to do this other stuff. And Justin, given his personality, not only embraced the idea, but went all in. And so now this has become a weapon for him. And the other thing, too, is when he had core surgery a couple of years ago, he learned a lot about his body as he went through rehab. And he was scared to death about whether or not he would get his velocity back. And he told me a story during the postseason last year. And he talked about how, as he came back and did the rehab and wondered if he was going to be able to throw hard again, he pitched in a spring training game, I think it was in March of 2016, and the first fastball he threw, he thought, boy, that felt great. He turned around, looked at the radar gun, and hit 95. And that told him that, yes, it's still inside of you. And as Justin told me that story last fall, he held out his arm. He said, look, I still get goosebumps whenever I think about that moment, looking at that 95 miles per hour. So he got that velo back.
Is he almost like a power Greg Maddux right now in his career?
Yeah, and it's interesting because Justin's favorite player in his lifetime is Nolan Ryan. And when he told me that, when I did a piece on him about 6-7 years ago, I asked him, hey, why Nolan Ryan? And he said because he was able to be a power pitcher throughout his career. And that has been Justin's goal. But to your point, not only does he have the power, and we're still seeing him finish games, 7th, 8th inning, throwing 97, 98, but he's learned how to move the ball around. That slider he's been throwing, that curveball he's been throwing this year, it's unbelievable. The Yankees people were telling me they were just in awe of all the movement that he's got on his stuff this year.
Talk to me about the crop of shortstops we have in Major League Baseball now. That position, you know, in my lifetime, Buster, has changed from the Gary Templeton and Ozzie Smith bats to these well-rounded players. Have we given up any defense for these offensive shortstops we have now?
In a couple cases, yes. Like Manny Machado moved from third base, where he was considered to be, you know, if not the best third baseman, you know, certainly one of the best. Brooks Robinson told Buck Showalter last year that Manny's the best third baseman that he's ever seen. At shortstop, he's generally speaking, is considered to be average. And it'll be interesting to see where he signs the free agent this winter. But in the case of Carlos Correa, the Astros shortstop, Francisco Lindor, the Indians shortstop, no, these are two of the best defenders at that position, as well as being so good offensively. And it says a lot about Carlos's personality. And I got to tell you, I think of all baseball players, the guy who reminds me the most of LeBron James and his absolute devotion to improving all parts of his game is Carlos Correa. And so this winter, he really wanted to work on his defense, and in particular, he wanted to work on his first step and the correct movements in his body on his first step. And it's going to be really important for him going forward because he's a big dude. Like, he's 6'4". He's Cal Ripken size, Alex Rodriguez size. And so the fact that he's on that in his early 20s, I think bodes well for how long he'll last there.
Buster, let's move from shortstop to second base. Interesting question posed a couple of days ago. If you had to choose one of these 21-year-olds, the Braves Albies or the Yankees Torres, which one would you take?
Man, that talk about an impossible question. You know, Gleyber Torres, Yankee staffer, told me, we knew he was good, but we didn't know he was this good. You know, he's got five homers the last five games. He's got eight this year. He's hitting .323. He's probably going to compete with Ohtani for American League Rookie of the Year, but I got to tell you, I'd probably take Ozzie Albies. The other day, I was talking to Jose Altuve of the Astros about him, and Altuve, I said, hey, have you seen Albies play? Because a lot of people compare them because of they're similar in their size. And Altuve just started raving about him and said, wow, this guy, at 21, he's better than I was when I was 21. And then he paused. He goes, at 21, he's better than I am at 28. you know, so much energy with Albies, so much speed, and he's showing off that power early on. I would probably take him over Gleyber Torres, which is saying something.
He's such a big part of Atlanta's rebuild, and I know Braves fans think they're going to be around for the long haul. It seems like the Phillies have also done a sort of an overhaul. Do they seem like a team that's going to, you know, hang around throughout the summer as well?
Yeah, for Braves fans, the Phillies are going to be the number one competition probably for the next 5 or 6 years. You know, they do have some good position players, not as good as the Braves, for sure. Jorge Alfaro, their catcher, I mean, he just crushed the Braves in this series with how he's been throwing the ball, you know, cuts down to Ender Inciarte last night. But the difference between the Phillies and the Braves is how the Phillies are ahead in their pitching. You know, Aaron Nola, Nick Pivetta, they've got some great young arms. They're complemented by Jake Arrieta. And here's the potential problem for the Braves when it comes to the Phillies. The Phillies have so much payroll flexibility. I think this year they're at about $80 million. They could probably handle a payroll easily of $210 million. And if I had to bet the family farm guys back in Vermont on who will land where in the wintertime, either Manny Machado or Bryce Harper is going to be with the Phillies next year because, wow, you know, those guys are going to get big contracts from somebody, and the Phillies have more money to spend, I think, than any other team.
Wow. That'd be a good move there from the Phillies. If I'm a fan base or a general manager trying to sell my fan base on a rebuild and I'm watching the Braves and the Phillies, who's most likely to be the next Braves and Phillies to go through a rebuild and come back out of it on the other side and be a contender?
Boy, you know, I would say, now you're asking me between the Braves and the Phillies.
No, another team that's gone through a rebuild or is going through one that's going to be the next Braves and Phillies to come out the other side of the rebuild and be good again.
The Chicago White Sox, who collected so much talent in recent years. They've made some great trades. This year is a disaster, and the White Sox fans are unhappy. But I, you know, there's no doubt that they given the collection of talent, that'll eventually manifest. They also have been making noises about going after Manny Machado this winter. And here's the other factor that really plays well for the White Sox. Their division stinks, right?
Right.
You know, you got the Indians who are probably nearing the end of their championship window. You've got the Twins who are getting better, but then you have the Tigers who are years off. You have the Royals who are years off. So that'll give the White Sox, I think, an opportunity to climb in a way that you know, is probably more difficult for the Braves and the Phillies because they're in the same division as the Nationals and the Mets.
Buster, I think most of us believed the Brewers could win the Central, but is it starting to become a theme that maybe we need to say this team might be able to win the pennant this year?
It could, especially in a wide-open National League. It's ridiculous how much parity there is in the league. I mean, think about it. The National League West, which we all sort of assumed that would be won by the Dodgers this year, you've got five teams within 5.5 games of each other. And so given that context where you have all these teams sort of packed together in the National League Central, in the National League East, in the National League West, yeah, the Brewers could emerge because they probably have the best bullpen in the National League. You know, Josh Hader being such an unusual weapon, you know, the highest strikeout rate in baseball, left-hander from the Baltimore area who's been traded a couple times already. There's nobody else like him because he throws so hard and he has such an unusual delivery. He kind of reminds you, you know, for folks who are older, John Candelari was a left-hander that other left-handed hitters didn't want to face. There's a little bit of Randy Johnson in there in terms of the velocity. He reminds me of Madison Bumgarner, plus 5 miles an hour. And, you know, they're only using him in games in which they have the lead, and he comes out and he'll throw a couple innings and he'll strike out five or six guys. The Brewers are 18-0 in the games in which he's pitched this year. I do think that probably during the course of the year they're going to have to add a bat through the trade market because their offense is very sporadic so far.
Now, one of the fieriest players ever, a spark plug for the Phillies back in the early 90s. Weird, sad, strange story yesterday with Lenny Dykstra. Did you ever cover Lenny?
I did not. I've talked to him a few times, and I always tell friends the story about how he's acknowledged his connection to pharmaceuticals in the past, and I'll never forget being, you know, 25 years old and going to the Phillies clubhouse in 1992 and looking to do a story and talk to Lenny, and it's on a Sunday morning, and I'm an idiot, and I didn't even think, boy, you know, a Sunday morning in the Phillies clubhouse after a late Saturday night for Lenny might be a challenge. So I waited and waited and waited. About an hour before the game, he comes walking in, and I started talking to him. He looked at me like I was a flashlight shining in his eyes. He's like, really? You're going to ask me these questions an hour before the game? So I walked out of there, and I passed by the Padres clubhouse at old Jack Murphy Stadium, and I said to one of the Padres players, I said, man, I just saw Lenny. He's in really rough shape. He's not going to do anything against you guys today. He started, he let off the game, and he hit a home run about 430 feet on one of the first pitches and bounced around the bases. I suspect that between 12 and 1 o'clock, Lenny probably found something to help them out.
Buster Olney with us every week with always great information. You ever make it to Omaha for the College World Series?
I did a couple of years ago, and that was really cool. It was the first time I'd been there, and I also went to Omaha back when I was covering AAA and the Nashville Sounds played against the Omaha Royals in the playoffs. But I went to the College World Series once. It was really cool. The only bummer was that Vanderbilt wasn't there that year.
Oh, they've gotten really good, though. SEC tournament going on here, Buster. Made me think of Omaha and wondering if you've ever been there. Thank you for your time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
That sounds great, guys. Enjoy the SEC tournament. I talked to Alex Bregman and Tony Kemp over the weekend. You know, of course, LSU Vanderbilt guys. And they're giving each other a hard time about the tournament coming up.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Boker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama!
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.